That's why I see these people.
Ready? All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015, Election Day in many of our cities, and ask if everyone would please join the Board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. I'd make two requests. One, if you're here to talk about Highway 30, hold on for just a second and we'll deal with all that while we're dealing with Highway 30. If you're here for the pipeline consideration of two resolutions that are before us, I'd ask you to wait. If anybody feels like they want to make a comment and go, they're welcome to do that now. I prefer to deal with it all while we're talking about it. Is there anybody who has comments they wish to make other than those two topics? All right, seeing nobody, is there anybody who wishes to make a comment now on the pipeline issue during our public comment period or save it till we're discussing the resolutions? All right, seeing, would you like to make a comment now, sir?
I'd ask if they
want
to make comments later on.
Yeah, and we will let everybody who wants to make comment later on make comment. So with that, we'll move on to an opportunity to receive comments and consideration of the position of the Board of Supervisors on the proposed Highway 30 project. Let's start. There have been I've heard a couple of people raise the question of, well, the Board of Supervisors, if they decided that they were against this project, they could just say, it's done and it's done. And so I asked our civil counsel to look into it and start this conversation, tell the Board of Supervisors exactly what we're empowered to do in this process, Ethan.
Yeah, thank you for having me speak. Iowa Code Chapter 306 governs the state highway system in Iowa. And so, specifically, Chapter 306.4 vests the authority over the state highway system in the Iowa Department of Transportation. And it gives it the power to regulate it, construct it, modify it in the Department of Transportation. That's distinct from the secondary road system, which Iowa Code gives authority to the Board of Supervisors. So the state highway system is the Department of Transportation's purview. And then additionally,
so you have, can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
So Iowa Code 306 gives control of the state highway system to the Iowa Department of Transportation. And specifically the control to modify, change, enlarge that state highway system. And then in 307 of the Iowa Code, you have the commission or the Transportation Commission. Now they are required under Iowa Code 307A to conduct these 5-year long-range plans. And I think that's what we're seeing here today, these part of this 5-year plan. And they have the authority to do that. They have the authority to renew that annually and revise that annually. And they have hearings, regular hearings, and they have a hearing for comments set for November 10th next week in Ames. And so, unfortunately, the Board of Supervisors has no control over the state highway system, also called a primary road system.
But even we are allowed and encouraged to take a position in this, and then DOT can do whatever they want to do with a comment from the Board of Supervisors if the Board of Supervisors decides to make one.
Absolutely. The Board of Supervisors can offer a comment, just like members of the public can offer a comment.
Okay. Any questions for Ethan before we get started on this? Okay. Ethan, thank you very much. First person that I have here to... I want to start. The gentleman who asked us to do this, I believe came last week, Randy Collins. Randy, we'll have you come up first and kind of kick things off. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate the time that you're allowing us. As you can see, we have a few people here. I want to preface this saying all the data that I have that I'll be presenting today is available from the DOT through the environmental assessment, as well as what's called the Intersection Safety Improvement Candidate Location data. Okay, that's something that had to be dug for. That's where I got individual data on individual intersections. And I'll just read off what I'm comfortable doing, I guess. In 1988, the Highway 30 corridor was identified as part of the state of the Iowa Commercial Industrial Network, or the CIN. Prior to this designation, several businesses between Ames and Nevada have built along this corridor because of the traffic flow and ease of getting to their businesses, along with great visibility their businesses would have. In 1991, the road was expanded from 2 lanes to 4 lanes from Nevada to Ames. More businesses and churches have continued to build along the same corridor, again, because of visibility and accessibility of participants and potential customers. Today, the Iowa DOT wants to close all of these accessible at-grade crossings for safety and traffic flow concerns now and in the future. The affected at-grade crossings are from the west, Sand Hill Trail, 580th Avenue, 590th Avenue, 600th Avenue, 610th Avenue, also known as Airport Road, as well as S-14 and 6th Street in Nevada. Interchanges are planned by the DOT somewhere to serve Sand Hill Trail and 580th and to serve Nevada. I will address 580th, 590th, and 600th. According to 2010 through 2014 Intersection Safety Improvement Candidate Location data from the Iowa DOT, 580th Avenue is extremely dangerous, being ranked number 21 out of over 39,000 intersections that were ranked. There are 19 accidents at this intersection of 580th and Highway 30 during the five-year period of 2010 through 2014. One very interesting statistic, wow, I still can't say it, is in 2014 there was only one accident, when in the prior 5 years there were at least 3 accidents per year. Why? Deceleration lane, maybe? Likely. Great visibility. Vehicle is showing commitment to turn. Before a vehicle may have his turn signal on, an example, vehicles exiting from I-35 with their turn signals turned on to the right did not turn off the turn signal. And now you know they are committed to turn with this deceleration lane. And again, great visibility. I know this was only 1 year, but wow. A further evaluation of this intersection needs to be done. 590th and 600th can be treated very much the same. Extremely low accident rates at these two locations. Both of these intersections had no accidents last year, 590th having 7 in the past 10 years, and 600th with 6 in the last 10 years. What would deceleration lanes do for these two intersections? Now, I'm in the needs of the farmer. Safety and accessibility. I want to plant my crops, care for my crops, harvest my crops, and market my crops safely and have accessibility to my markets. Closing these three at-grade crossings, 580th, 590th, and 600th, will limit my ability to safely farm. Now I will be forced onto concrete roads, maybe with curbing, driving a 17-foot, 4-inch wide combine, base combine, fighting with semis, cars, and bicycles, trying to avoid accidents. This is not a one-time deal. Closing these crossings is forever. I hate driving my farm equipment down the highway because I don't know what the motorist is going to do. I'm sure the motorist feels exactly the same way, not knowing what I'm going to do. The only gravel road between Ames and Nevada that crosses the Union Pacific Railroad is 600th, allowing farmers from the north of the tracks to get to the south of the tracks, and vice versa. Forcing farmers to 580th or something over there, or to take 610th Avenue, with curbing and gutter, and then travel on very business, very busy Lincoln Way with cars, semis, and again bicycles, so the farmer can get the 600th does not sound safe. There's a farmer in Grant Township, Section 6, that will be totally landlocked from his farm ground if he loses access from Highway 30. Along with that, our particular farm has two guaranteed accesses to Highway 30 at the present time. It's in the courthouse. The Iowa DOT, in their analysis of the accident, has lumped a lot of data together that does not give a fair analysis of their data. Looking at the individual intersection gives a much fairer analysis and gets rid of the animal accidents, 30%. Following too close, 10%. Driving too fast, 8%. Stop sign and yield violations, 13%. Along with many other categories of slushy road conditions, older drivers, younger drivers, and distracted drivers. All of these causes, except the stop sign and yield violations, will not be cured by closing these intersections. The DOT could put up a 10-foot fence with cattle crossing guards at each intersection and construct animal crossings. This would probably minimize the largest category of 30%, accidents. In summary, I believe that the 590th and 600th do not warrant closing because of a DOT safety concerns. The data does not back up these closings. Deceleration lanes should be added to these intersections. 580th Avenue needs to be studied for a few more years, as the addition of the deceleration lane has only been in 1 year and possibly fantastic results because of it. And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, Ray. Sandhill Trail.
Yes.
Did you weigh in at all on that, or did you kind of draw a line at 580th and move?
I was concerned with 3. Sandhill Trail, I don't want to travel on it with equipment whatsoever. The roadway for 580th is 11 feet wide per lane. Again, driving 17 feet, 4-inch piece of equipment down there doesn't make any sense at all, and fighting the bicycles. With Sandhill Trail, building a very nice, wonderful intersection, which, okay, it is needed. There's a lot of accidents there, but 580th is the worst. The bicycles will travel from Highway Old Lincoln Way to New 30, take 580th. They'll take it all the way down around. I envision bicycle traffic on 580th increasing.
Okay.
Another reason not to take equipment on.
So, Randy, if this project went as planned,
yes,
and your access, then since 30 would not be your access, you would be able to cross. Where? How far would you have to drive, and what would be the thoroughfare that you would probably have to use to get to and from your fields?
I guesstimated it would be approximately, instead of traveling 4 miles, it would be at least 8 miles for me to get to my fields, or get to my market, okay, to market my crop. That's my primary usage of this. So it would double the mileage that I would have to travel easily. And in addition to that, believe it or not, there's certain times that you do not cross New Highway 30. You don't cross it between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. You do not cross it after about 3:45 in the afternoon. You don't do it. Any other time during the day, that road is fantastic to cross. With a truck, with a tractor, with a combine, with whatever you need to cross with, you can make it work well. It's just, for those two locations, all of a sudden, you compounded the number of vehicles that I've got to deal with. Just take a grain to market. Okay?
Paul, anything for Randy?
No.
Thanks for all your work.
Yeah, Randy, thanks.
For our work.
Can I give you each one of these?
Absolutely. While you're bringing that up, Jeff Stensland is who I have next.
Morning. Thank you.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Thanks for coming over.
My name is Jeff Stensel, and I live on the corner of 600th and Lincoln Highway, right across from the co-op, right on the corner. I do farm south of 30 and north of 30, and I do travel that a lot, and a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be kind of a repeat of what Randy said. Our number one concern as farmers is we do travel safely. We try our best to stay off the highways. This forces us onto highways. We don't want that. Because he's right. Motors don't know what we're doing. They don't know when we're turning. They don't realize sometimes how slow we're going. So keeping 580th and 600th open, I think, is a must. You've got markets on the north side of Lincoln Way. You got the ethanol plant. You got the Hardwater Key Co-op and DuPont Now building. There's going to be more built there. There's going to be more of a need to get to those places. And by shutting those off, you basically shut everybody south of Highway 30 off going to those markets. It's going to be very difficult to get there. Our equipment, like Randy said, is wide. It's not getting smaller. It's getting bigger. The other problem I foresee is you're going to put a lot of pressure on Lincoln Highway. Now, there's one issue. I've said this for years to you guys. I think you really need to look at it because the businesses are going to do nothing but expand on the north side of Lincoln Way from Nevada to Ames. Finishing 13th Street, for example, from Hollins, where it currently ends and goes to Gravel, 3600, I think will alleviate a lot of pressure off of Lincoln Highway. You have a lot of traffic coming from the north down the interstate. You've got access on and off the interstate at 13th. And personally, I'd pave it clear down to Highway 30 and make a full loop for interstate access from the south and the north. You're going to see a lot more growth out of that area. The other concern I have, I've been a firefighter for 28 years, access for emergencies to the south side of Grant Township is now going to become more difficult. It's not going to be as timely as it should be, and those people deserve the same service that everybody else gets. That's going to become a headache, too, for emergency services. It really is. So. That's basically it in a nutshell.
All right. You did mention 590th. What are your thoughts on 590th?
590th, there's businesses that have recently built there. You don't want to shut them off. I mean, Case IH, the Ag Information Center, Better Equipment, they spent a lot of money there on some really nice businesses. Don't close their doors. They've got to remain open. And if you force everybody to come up to Lincoln Way and go south, you're going to have to put a bridge in because you've got a small bridge over the Grant Township ditch, the open ditch. That bridge isn't going to be, it's not heavy enough for the traffic, the big truck traffic and stuff that it's going to incur. I guess the other thing that you guys need to look at as the board, what's this going to cost the county? This is going to cost us a lot of money if they do this because you're going to have to improve roads. You've got a lot of projects that are going to happen because of this. So that's something you guys need to look at, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Any questions for Jeff before he gets wet?
No.
No, and I hate to make this statement, too, but, Jeff, you know, it's, I was sitting here listening to you, and I noticed that in some areas of the state, particularly in Ward, Missouri, and so forth, in the farming community, even though they have signage up warning the motorists that farm equipment is going to be using this, if you go down 63 towards Kirksville, I happened to notice that a couple weeks ago. You know, the problem we get is that a lot of times there are people that are not living necessarily within our borders, within the neighboring street of Marshall County, you know, Story County, Boone, etc., that are using this for model weight. And so you're concerned about whether these signs would even make a difference as far as potential for increased traffic or accidents. But certainly it would be a problem if you guys were having to use the highway to pass. The other question, you made reference to 13th Street expansion. And I know at some point when we were looking at just the paving of that area, you know, you've got a few houses along that area there that you run into problems with in trying to be able to utilize that. That's always a concern. But were you thinking of going all the way from Holups east, where it would come out almost by the co-op or beyond, or all the way to S-14?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, and I can't remember, time's gotten away from me. I think it was probably around 20 or 25 years ago the county went in there and built that road up in for the future plan to pave that, clear to S-14. Was the original plan. And it's been a while since they did that. That was their original intention when they did that. Now, maybe for now, we only go to 600 to the co-op road to help the flow of traffic. But maybe eventually, with the city growing, there is a lot of people that use that road to go to Ames in the mornings and afternoons when they're coming home from work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
Al Copler, I've got next. Al, I have a feeling we're getting ready to change topics from the roads out in the county to the roads here in Nevada.
No, that's not necessarily.
Oh, good.
No.
Thanks for coming over this morning.
You betcha. Board of Supervisors, ladies and gentlemen of the audience. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
You have to pull it closer. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk. Can you hear me now?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll start with name and address.
Al Copler. My office is 1110 6th Street here in Nevada, and I live at 1600 South 11th Street, on basically 11th Street going down to the Country Club Road. First of all, I want to commend the Board of Supervisors for not okaying this project in the letter that you sent to the DOT 2 years ago, because I have that letter here. You voiced your concerns in this letter about taking away access from the farmers and so forth, because primarily this is a farm-to-town road, and you will be taking away that access from these farmers. In other words, like Randy was saying before, he's going to have to increase his mileage by four miles, okay? Well, these vehicles, these tractors and these equipment don't exactly use zero fuel. So the emissions that's going to go into the air, there's so many things wrong with this plan, it's almost impossible to cite them on, okay? And the statistics that the DOT, okay, and I really don't care if any DOT people are here, but the statistics that the DOT used to put this thing, this environmental assessment, which was dated 7/30, are skewed to their advantage to get this project okay. Originally, this whole project, folks, started in about 1988, and it was originally a Highway 30 S-14 problem. That was it. A Highway 30 S-14 problem, because there was a number of accidents out there. Too many, in fact. Okay? But even those number of accidents have come down in the last few years. So what has happened was this project has already expanded to 7 miles from I-35 to 11th Street, which is the street that I live on. Okay. Primarily the focus on the meeting at the city council, that was focused entirely on 6th Street. That's not what we're here for today, because I don't think the county, the Board of Supervisors, has any control over what happens on 6th Street. Okay? But they can say no to the DOT, stating that this is not a good plan, folks. Okay? And that's what we're urging most of these people here. I'll bet you, if I ask for a raise of hands, how many in favor, let's do this. How many here today are in favor of the Highway 30 project as it is up there with West Alternative Number 1? How many in favor? How many are opposed? Okay? This should tell you something about what's happening. It's the same thing that happened at the city council meeting the other night, and so forth. And I'm sorry to say that I had to turn into Tony Soprano, Donald Trump, within a few minutes, within a few moments of that meeting last week, okay? So, and I usually don't have that type of personality, but I am an ex-Marine, so I do express my opinions. And so, one of the questions that you asked before was the fact, what happened with Sand Hill Road, the accidents? Well, in 2000, from 2005 to 2009, there was 12 accidents. From 2010 to 2014, there were 7 accidents. So the accidents went down, you know, I'm not going to say 50%, but they dropped about 40%. And Randy took care of the bulk of these accidents, but there was, from 2005 to 2009, with all the intersections here, there were 61 accidents out there. From 2010 to 2014, there was 45. So there was a decrease of accidents from Highway I-35 to 11th Street. Now, I don't know where in the world all this money is going to come from, because this is about, they said the other night it was about $14 million that was going to come. They did not. I specifically addressed the issue about the 223.3 acres that was going to have to be condemned through eminent domain or just by outright. They did not have a number for me at that time, and it was not projected into this particular estimate. But going by an average of $10,000 an acre, and I can almost guarantee it's not going to go at market value, because the farmers that have to give up this land, they're not going to give it up very freely. So I would say it's probably going to go above market value right now. So, and then the time involved in beginning this. So I don't understand how a government agency that we somehow put into office, and we don't elect the people at the DOT. They're all appointed or hired. But when someone works for a government agency, and that includes you folks, okay? Because when you get out there on the ballot, you are politicians, whether you like it or not. You come out there and you ask for our vote. And you are supposed to represent us, you know? And I got some quotes here saying, things in our country run in spite of government, not by aid of it. Will Rogers said that one. Three groups spend other people's money. Children, thieves, and politicians. All three need supervision. There are three kinds of men. The ones that learn by reading, the few who learn by observation, the rest of them have to pee on the electric fence for themselves. Okay, now where this is coming from, this directly relates to, we are trying to dictate to these farmers that they can't use a road that we have paid for. The taxpayers have paid for this. Okay, and when you take away a right, and I believe it is a right for these farmers to get to where they farm, to get to where they can market their product. And we are basically taking away that right, and with additional cost to them. Not only that, additional time. So, do you realize, with the statistics, and I will say this, that the statistics that's in this environmental assessment report, dated 7/30/15, do not tie to this, what Randy Collins came out with this morning. Okay? So, there's 223.3 acres that are going to have to be condemned. Some of these farmers, this land has been in their families for decades, 25, 50, some of that has been in the families for 100 years. And we are going to take it away from them, condemn it, whatever you want to call it. This is not right. Okay, this is not right. And one other thing. You know that you have a better chance of being struck by lightning right now than having an accident on Highway 30 between I-35 and 11th Street. A better chance. You got a one chance in 3 million to be struck by lightning. you got a one. Let me see here. I have that down. Excuse me. You got the chances. Oh yeah, the chances of being having an accident on Highway 30 is about one. No, I got that backwards. The chance of having an accident on Highway 30 is 1 in 3,100,000. The chances of being struck by lightning in the state of Iowa is 1 chance in 3 million. So, and I've been, and our place has been struck by lightning for some of you. So we were that one unfortunate one time. Okay, so.
Well, now you got yourself all worked up there. My question is, you paid close attention to this. I appreciate the research that you've done. Is it your position that no improvements need to be made between Sandhill Trail and S-14? Or are there things that should be done, but you just think this plan is bad?
This plan is bad. There should be some things done. There should be some accelerations put in. There should be some turning lanes put in. That alone, I believe, that alone will decrease the number of accidents out here by, I would say, another 50%. You know, I believe it was Mr. Collins here 2 weeks ago at the DOT meeting that basically said, you can't fix stupid, okay? You can put all the exchanges in you want, okay? Just like what happened to that bus, okay? That could have happened anywhere, and, you know, the accident that happened last week. That could have happened last week. If you don't pay attention to driving, that's your primary job. It's not talking on the telephone. It's not texting, okay? When I go traveling with my wife doesn't understand why I don't want to talk. My full concentration is on that road. I drive defensively, not offensively. I drive defensively. I'm looking for what that car is going to do. The one that's coming after me, the one that's coming at me, the one that's behind me. And, you know, I'll probably go out there and have a damn accident when I finish here, but I've never had an accident in my life, and I'm almost 70 years old. So, in the last couple of weeks, I've driven this road. I've driven Lincoln Way. I've driven this road probably 20 times in the last couple of weeks since this all started up. And we don't need all these exchanges. I'll tell you what we need. We need to have Airport Road. We need to have Airport Road brought up to date. Airport Road was put in, and it was designed bad from day one. Dave Armstrong is sitting here. His dad did that highway, okay? And it was designed, was it Val Jepson at the time, the county engineer? I did J.D. Armstrong's tax returns for many years before he died. Every year when I went out there, I got a lecture on how bad that road was designed. You got the curves higher than the road. You got curves on there. Why in the world did you put curves? That road should be 18 inches higher with the water flowing off right here. You got water standing in the center of the road when it rains, and there's no place for it to go. And I don't know. I don't know whether half of it is the county or half of it is whether it's all city. I don't know that particular answer. That is a disaster, okay? We're going to have a problem when, yeah, interchange, and I'm not against the interchange at Airport Road. I'm not against what they're trying to do at S-14. I'm against the closing of 6th Street. But if they're going to do this, you folks have to put some, you have to have some push or some savvy on how to deal with these folks, okay? Because you're going to be putting an excessive amount of traffic on an inefficient road the way it is right now, and your biggest problem is that we got, and this is a city problem, is up at Airport Road in Lincoln.
Well, it's a terrible intersection.
Okay, you talk about, and we got 450 trucks, 450 trucks to 500 trucks right now are going to and from Lincoln Way Energy and the co-op every single day. That's an average. Okay, when the cellulose plant, DuPont, starts to work, there's going to be an additional 200 to 250 trucks per day that's going to end up in Lincoln Way. It's going to be a disaster waiting to happen. Lincoln Way should be at least a three lane road with some turning lanes and acceleration lanes. We got to get this fixed. We got to be proactive. We should be fixing that damn thing now instead of waiting until after these intersections are done. Okay? I called the city council. I called Liz up at the city hall. Well, she said, you know, we want government money. Well, we got to have a new business coming in because we get $10,000 per person, new labor force that comes in, and we can use this as part of RISE money to do these intersections. Well, I'm sorry, folks. That doesn't solve our problem. Okay, we wait till this problem comes up, and it's going to be another 4 or 5 years. By that time, we will have 15, 20, 25 accidents up there. We need a turning. We need a passing lane on the north side of Lincoln Way. We need a turning lane for people coming west, going east that want to turn south on Airport Road. We need an acceleration lane for people that's turning east from Airport Road going into Nevada. Those three things alone eliminate most of the problems, but they take money. Where are we going to get it? I don't know, but they have to be solved. How would you like to be the betters out here? Putting $6-8 million in a facility out here and then have it jammed down your throat, you can't get there, and this damn thing says there's going to be no impact on them? Give me a break.
All right, questions for Al. Al, we'll come back to you at the end if you want to talk some more, but we're going to try to get through everybody else. We appreciate you coming today and giving us your thoughts. Any questions for Al? Al, thank you very much. Good job.
I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate the fact that you did not give an okay to this thing in that letter.
But we're following the process as it's supposed to be followed. The one thing I want to point out is the area between 600 and 580th and extended on over Standville Trail is not on the 5-year plan yet. This is part of the process for them to determine whether to put on the 5-year plan. Now, the Airport Road over to 6th Street, that is part of the 5-year plan. That was done last year. That's not the Board of the Supervisors' role. That's wholly within the City of Nevada.
Right, but the West alternative, you do have...
And that's why we're here today.
You do have a say in that, yes.
Well,
I'm not talking about the West alternative.
We just put in comments, and DOT gets to do what they want with the comments, but this is part of the process. It's not part of the 5-year calendar yet. That's what DOT is going to be determining.
I will say I had a conversation with Governor Branstad the other day, and what I told him about, this was at the Cellulose meeting, and so when I told him the fact that, Governor, if you look out the window, you see that access from Highway 30 here. I said, under the DOT plan, that will be closed. And I said, the one down the street where we have four businesses down there, and I said, that will be closed. You know how that was? That's ridiculous. So he has arranged. We're getting it set up so that if someone wants to go with me, I'm going to have a meeting with the director of the DOT. The governor himself may be there, and so forth. So we have got to squash this before it starts. There has to be some better plans out there because we cannot adversely affect these farmers and these businesses that have put their whole life's work into these operations here. It is not fair. It is not just.
Thanks, Al. I appreciate you letting your inner Marine come out. Catherine, and I'm sorry if I butcher your last name, Asjus?
Asjus.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely.
I'm not a Marine. I'm not a farmer. But I live between 600 and 610th, 1 mile south of the highway. And my concern is a little different. That is that the dissemination of information about this project was very poorly done. I had no idea about it until a neighbor brought something by to me a couple weeks ago, because I don't take the local paper and I don't hang around the courthouse reading the bulletins. And what disappoints me is that, and I talked to a man at the DOT via email. I asked him, so how do you come up with this project study area? Because he told me that yellow line is the project study area, and that is how they decide who gets informed about these kinds of things. Well, you can see that southern yellow line there takes a jag up and goes across. And then it takes another jag down, but we don't see that part. Well, the interesting thing to me is that that little jag cuts out the human beings who live near the highway there. It runs just north of the Holland and Zook properties, so that people within, how far are you from the highway, Tracy? Within a half mile of that highway were not informed. I live 1 mile from that highway, and I was not informed about this project. And needless to say, all the farmers who farm south of that highway were not told about this project, which puts red flags up about my government, because this really does have a big impact on us. So, in my conversation with this man, Tony Gustafson, he basically pointed me to some environmental impact site, which I looked at. I emailed him back and said, well, this looks like environmental impact. I'm interested in the human impact. And he said, well, they're the same. Which, it seems like maybe we matter more than the corn. And informing the corn, they're not going to argue back. And it bothers me that we were not let to know. Then my final question is, what is the end game here, closing this highway off? We hear about the 5-year plan. What is the 10-year plan? Are they planning to make that an interstate? What is the purpose of closing off access to that highway? Because it isn't safety, we know that. The statistics that they've used are put together in such a way to make it appear that this is a dangerous stretch of road, but we know that that's not true. So I'm curious to know, and I'm bothered that IDOT did not show up today, and I would like to know, do you have any idea? What is the 10-year plan? Why are these roads being cut off? We don't get an answer to that. Is there a bigger picture?
What we've been given today, and Darren Moon, our county engineer, I'd ask you to come up, Darren, and I got 2 questions for you based on what Catherine's...
And I'm done.
Okay, yeah.
That's all I'm concerned about.
You mind coming up just because she brought up a couple of things that I'd like to have answers to. My understanding is it was triggered based on the safety issue. I think it was triggered primarily on the Nevada interchange happening when it was happening and DOT deciding that now was a good time to get the rest done. I think there are some very real issues with S-14 and Sand Hill Trail. Somebody compared it to, instead of using a fly swatter to kill a fly, maybe using a bazooka to kill the fly. And that may be a good analogy. Darren, I want to know, first of all, do you have any idea how the DOT draws the lines?
I do not on that.
Yeah, okay, no. I wasn't sure if you're going to. And then secondly, have there been any conversations at all that you're aware of what the longer-term goals are with this access, or is it simply trying to limit access between Ames and Nevada? Would there be speed limit changes? What do you think would happen along that strip?
From what I've heard, it's just strictly between Ames and Nevada at this point. I haven't heard anything beyond that. And as far as speed limits go, their goal is to not have to reduce the speed limit, keep it at 55. But what you really want to avoid is those 55-mile-an-hour highways with stoplights. That is a dangerous situation. That's what they're trying to avoid. And somebody had the environmental plan. That kind of spells out the accidents that have happened. But they're also projecting some pretty good growth. And so they're predicting more accidents in the future. I'm just going by the report.
Sure, absolutely. And that was my question. I know you don't have a role in this, but I thought maybe you spoke the language a little better, and so you could fill us in. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Catherine, anything else?
Only one other question, Darren. Do you know whether the Highway 30 Coalition has been involved in this situation? You know, they've been a very active group because of things that have happened through Easton. We've had a couple meetings here, but I've not heard or seen anything directly from them yet.
Their core is based around Cedar Rapids, is their main concern. So they'd probably rather see the money spent out there, so I haven't heard anything from them.
Okay. All right.
Catherine, yeah, go, absolutely.
So I did hear that I have an email stating, our typical approach for an existing corridor.
Who is this from? Yeah.
This is from Tony Gustafson. Okay. Or Gustafson. I don't know how.
And he's DOT.
DOT. He's an engineer. I think he's the assistant engineer on the project. CC'd with Andy Lunin, Brad Hoffer, John Narrigan, Valerie Brewer.
Okay.
I don't know any of them. Our typical approach for an existing corridor is an approximate mile-wide area centered on the roadway, but that can vary, especially in areas of intersecting roadways. So I guess I can guess that because the big interchange there, they expanded it, drew it tighter along the highway, and then expanded it again. But it just seems strange to me that we human beings who are going to be really affected by this, we're not given a letter. We're not invited to comment except through an article in the newspaper, and I guess postings here. But
do we have postings here? Do you know that? I know we got a notification about the meeting. Did we post anything?
He told me
their notifications on our website.
Yeah. He said that they post information at the public library and at the county courthouse. And that just seems a little ridiculous to me to be doing a major change in the roadway, a major change to the way that those of us who live south and well, mostly south of the highway there will be able to get access to a main road. I said the other day, I pay my husband and I pay our taxes. We don't use WIC. We don't use welfare. We use very little of our government resources except the roads. And to me, that is the least we should be able to ask for, is access to the road that is most convenient for us. So.
Yeah, and Catherine, I hear everything you're saying, and I appreciate it. The only thing I will say is that this is still part of the comment process. I mean, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing right now, because a final determination has not been made.
Yes. So, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Next, I have Justin Vetter from Vetter Equipment. Justin, you and I have spoken on the phone a couple times about this. I appreciate you coming over today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rick.
Absolutely.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My place of business is 23941 590th Avenue. My name is Justin Vetter. I am the store manager there. As owners of Vetter Equipment Company, a Case IH farm equipment dealership established in 1975, and with 11 locations in Iowa, we wish to express our deep concern over the Department of Transportation's proposal on closing the entrance to 590th off of Highway 30 by Nevada, Iowa. This is the business location of one of our highest volume dealerships within our complex. After purchasing the business assets of Nevada store in 2002, we operated out of an outdated and inefficient rental facility on Lincoln Way, Highway 30. From the beginning, it was our intention to build a new facility in order to properly accommodate our business needs. So in 2005, we purchased 30 acres of land at the corner of Highway 30 and 590th Street. This was a strategic location for us due to the increased visibility we would gain, plus it'd be places adjacent to the Ag Information Center, which is a CNH industrial-owned national training facility. We partner with this facility by providing equipment, parts, and service for their training schools held throughout the year. After several years of construction and an $8 million investment, we moved into our state-of-the-art 63,000-square-foot building in the spring of 2013. This location has had a significant and positive impact for not only the agriculture side of our business, but also for the consumer lawn and garden products, construction equipment, and general merchandise that we sell. Due to the fact that our business heavily depends on amenities that this location offers, closure of the 590th Street access would be catastrophic for us. The following points outline the nature of our business and the negative impact our business would experience. Freight, machinery trucking, customer access. The machines the farm equipment industry hauls, regardless of brands, represent some of the heaviest and oversized loads seen on the highways today. With a fleet of semi-trucks and trailers, it is an everyday occurrence for a dealer to haul 80 to 100,000 pounds of machines with widths exceeding 17 foot wide.
We follow DOT regulations, spending thousands of dollars for permits and special licenses, and it is imperative that our facilities have access to roads that can accommodate this type of traffic. Also, throughout the course of a normal workday, our dealership will have a vast array of traffic ranging from farmers with pickup trucks, trailers or semis, and grain trailers, straight trucks, as well as trucks from commercial freight companies delivering machinery and parts. If the customer and delivery truck traffic coming to and from our dealership can no longer enter from Highway 30, the only point of access to our business would be a three-quarter mile, one-lane gravel road with a narrow and adequate bridge which connects to the two-lane Lincoln Highway. Neither the road nor the bridge would be able to sustain this type of heavy traffic, so it would force the Story County and its taxpayers to spend millions of dollars to upgrade the stretch of road. If there are no funds available for it, it becomes a long-term project. Our business will undoubtedly experience tremendous setbacks. Visibility, easy access. Farm equipment businesses use a variety of means to advertise, but the most effective one is having a highly visible and accessible lot with machinery. Potential customers visit our lot at all times of the day and night, every day of the week. Many drive through because they were passing by on Highway 30 and they want to look at our products we have to offer. Any farmer's wife will tell you that a road trip with her husband usually entails a drive through a farm equipment dealer's lot as they pass by. If the Highway 30 access to our business was closed, out-of-town customers would have no clue how to get to our business and be very difficult to direct them to a six-mile detour route using signage. Most likely, they would just keep driving on and lose a potential sale. Also, our core group of regular customers have to drive extra miles to do business with us, and be quite possible that they would trade off their equipment for a competitive brand because of easier access for parts and service. Increased liability. Because using semi-trucks for hauling machinery, we also use trucks to pull large, oversized implements such as disc, field cultivators, wagons, planters, combine head trailers, etc., down the road for delivery and servicing purposes. Whether it is an implement that tills a 60-foot wide swath in the field or a 2,000-bushel grain cart with 4-foot wide by 6-foot tall tires, they are engineered to be towed down a road. However, the designs of our older highways can make it challenging to do so safely. Even driving a tractor or combine with duals on these roads requires an extremely adequate shoulder in order to meet oncoming traffic. Lincoln Way Highway 30 is a good example of a usable but outdated road for today's modern machinery. The closure of all entries to the four-lane highway from Nevada to Ames would significantly increase the volume of truck and machinery traffic on this road, especially when the DuPont cellulosic ethanol plant becomes fully operational. Plus, the Lincoln Highway is designated as a bicycle route, so all this heavy-duty commercial and machinery traffic will be sharing the road with the bicyclist. This combination of truck-bicycle usage poses huge liability concerns for the businesses that will be forced to use this route on a daily basis. We feel there are more viable options available to address the DOT's traffic concerns for Highway 30. The speed limit between Nevada and Ames could easily be reduced by 5 to 10 miles an hour, along with additional turning lanes to follow safer entries onto the highway and exits to the adjoining roads. Another option would be to use traffic signals. The four-lane highway off of Highway 163 from Pleasant Hill to Prairie City has a very similar scenario, and there is a large volume of traffic coming to and from Des Moines metropolitan area and Interstate 80. There are multiple businesses as well as a school along this route with adjoining access roads, and the traffic is controlled by the usage of traffic signals and a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. Over the last 13 years, Veteran Equipment has made a substantial business and financial commitment to the community of Nevada and Story County. And I believe this isn't in here, but I think we pay $135,000 a year in property taxes. Our staff, 25 dedicated employees, work diligently to provide our customers quality sales, parts, and service. And the addition of our multi-million dollar facility helps us in attaining these goals as well. However, we still must rely on a stable infrastructure such as quality, accessible roads in order to sustain our business. We are asking the Iowa Department of Transportation to seriously consider the ramifications the closure of the roads between Nevada and Ames would have to the businesses and consumers who depend on them. We are also thinking they strongly consider other options to improve the safety conditions on Highway 30 rather than closing down access to these roads.
Justin, thank you. I want to say how much we appreciate Vetter's investment in Story County. In fact, we demonstrated our appreciation. I believe the county went in and paved that first quarter mile of 590 as Vetter was being constructed. And Darren, I want to say it was a $250,000 bill, roughly, to get that done. But I think it's been a great addition to the county, and we appreciate you being here. Questions for Justin? Thank you very much.
So much.
Thank you. Next, I have George Whitaker. Morning, George.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm George Whitaker from CNH Industrial, and I live in Racine, Wisconsin. Came down to engage in the process and just reinforce a letter that I sent to each of you last week expressing our concern about both the functional and the financial impairment that the project would bring to our facility, which is adjacent to Justin's facility on 590. We bring in about 3,500 people annually to our facility. And based on a state formula, we impact or generate economic impact of some $10 million a year. So we're really concerned about this plan and its impact on performance of the facility, future investment, where we can go with it, and so forth. So I won't go into, you've heard some great testimony so far this morning. My trip down here was made worth it by learning some of the quotes that I heard from Al this morning, so I appreciate that.
Al was entertaining.
Yeah, I'm trying to grab them all down. I'm going to go back to
I'm really here just to participate and to follow up on the letter that I sent to you. I think we made our position fairly clear in that letter.
You did. Question for George. George, thank you for being here. Thanks for coming down.
I appreciate it.
Madeline Jensen.
I'm going to pass because I...
All right, Sally, thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to address us on the Highway 30 project? Or, yes, sir, come on up.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
My name is Mel Brecky, and my wife and I own Brecky's Town and Country Store on 580th Avenue in Ames. Our business started in 1978. We started from scratch. We had nothing. Our life savings went into this project. And after many hard years to get started, and now at 37 years later, I would consider our business a successful business after 37 years. We work hard at giving service. I stated that in my letter to Tony.
This is Gus Hussle?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
And the thing that Al was talking about that really bothers me, I don't think it's up here, but the Section 3 of the right-of-way and the need for doing this on Highway 30, Vetter's was the only one mentioned. And that was no big deal to them. That Vetter's is no big deal at all, so it won't affect them at all. They didn't talk about all the rest of us. 580, not only myself or us, but we're talking Story County Vet Clinic. We're talking Brown Equipment, Caramoli, and us. We're all on 580.
Mm-hmm. And you end up on a dead-end road based on the plan.
And that was my comments to Tony was, how many businesses survive on a dead-end road? And not only is 580 important to us, but it's also important to a lot of other people that work in Ames. They come down that road like you wouldn't believe, going to work every morning. We were unloading a load of prairie hay the other morning at 6 a.m. and it's pitch dark. And you should have seen the car lights coming from the south on 580. It was like it was a funeral procession. I couldn't believe it. People going to work. That's how that important 580th is to us and a lot of people. So I think it's a huge mistake. There's got to be a better way. And that turning lane that we talked about, that Randy talked about, to me, I take it every day, it is tremendous. You get out of the way, the people don't have to stop or get plowed into.
You notice a real difference.
Oh, it's a tremendous difference. I go there every day. Mm-hmm. And our business is right off of 580 or right off of Highway 30. So I think this is something that could be done, as Al said, and all these other intersections that would be huge and not cost us billions of dollars. So that's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else wants to address us? Yes, sir. Come on up. Ron, how are you doing today?
Glad to be here.
I was surprised that I didn't have a card from you. I'm glad you came up.
I wasn't going to say anything, but somebody asked a question.
The name again.
Oh, Ron Jensen, 21789 590th Avenue, Nevada. And some of this, when they asked why this was all coming about, and we know the DOT has, like, skewed the numbers to get funding and to make this thing happen. And for those that maybe don't keep up to speed with it, it's all being dropped because of the city of Nevada and Nevada Economic Development. Nevada Economic Development made a bad land transaction several years ago. And in that dealing, they can't get anybody to buy that land for what they've got in it. So they give it 20 acres, whatever, for the John Deere store out there and give them tax abatement for 10 years. Of which veterans used their own money, used no tax money, and took their own risk, and it's being paid by the county. That goes to the county taxes, not the city. If you look, if you had a map up of this whole thing, and to give you a little else of what's going on, the city of Ames and Nevada has negotiated back and forth to who gets to grab the most land between Ames and Nevada. And the city of Ames now is wanting to annex everything
to 590.
To 590.
North of Lincoln Highway to 590, which is right where the DuPont plant is. Just west of the DuPont plant.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, I think they got vision for a little bit more, but we'll just leave it at that.
Hey, I'm just saying what I've seen on the plan for Ames right now is discussion of annexing all the way, basically the whole stretch of land from Barilla all the way out to stopping at 590th right there at DuPont.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a study I think the county did, I don't know how many years ago, or, you know, spent $100,000 or whatever it was to say that no more building on Lincoln Highway because it's a scenic road or whatever. So here we go again. Now that's development, and I said that at the time. People's going to go where they want, and you're going to do whatever it is to get a business. And that's where it goes back to this whole plan here. Nevada Economic Development spent several million dollars for a piece of ground they thought had sold, it all went sour. And now by cutting off all those roads out there between Ames and Nevada, nobody has a chance to sell anybody like a vet or anybody else a piece of ground to put a business on. It will all be controlled because the only access is the city of Nevada and city of Ames. Of which I'll guarantee you, if they hadn't talked about closing the 600th Avenue, there would have been a new John Deere store paying county taxes with no city dollars or tax money sitting at the corner of that intersection. Guarantee you. That's why all this is going on. It's Nevada Economic Development and your cronyism crap all the people that don't know how to do business. And we're all expected to pay for it. And a little extra. Well, just it goes back to what she said about this. This room, you can get all the people in here if they would have been informed. And one thing that goes back just as a little to the people involved in this, when they resurfaced, tore up, then resurfaced, when they tore out the eastbound lane and new Highway 30 2 years ago or three, whatever it was, we had Manass come to our driveway at our place of business right on 30 and say, we're going to let you know when we close the road, and by the way, you can only go right when you turn out of here. This was a planning time. The DOT never gave us one consideration on closing down our business at the busiest time of year. So when we talked to them, they would never return our phone call. Never did they return our phone call. Not until we got Farm Bureau attorneys involved and my attorney involved until we were important enough to return a call, of which they never did return it. They sent a flunky out to make a deal with us, and they thought in our whole process why they weren't considering us, it goes back to the design of this road. We were to take our equipment that's 20 feet wide down a 15-foot wide travel road and travel all the way east to 19th Street, go around the overpass, and come back to turn north on a road up Airport Road, and then you get to Old 30. And if we wanted to go west, we had to go down all the way down to Dayton Road, of which we can't get under the interstate bridge because it's too high, and they built that bridge too low years ago. So it's another one of these design deals where when everybody says, why is this road, it just doesn't make sense. They threw it all together to help the city of Nevada Economic Development out of their mess. Period. End of story. And I think everybody in Nevada probably knows that if they follow the economic development and all the stuff that happens in that.
Ron, talk for just a minute about what happens to the access right there at your business and where your parents live, if this were to happen.
Well, the thing we're kind of guessing, because here again, the story about not allowing us out of our driveway, we have not yet had one person from the DOT come to us and tell us what the hell they're doing in our driveway. We don't know if they're closing it. We've got some colored lines there in front of us, but we don't know yet.
But end of the day, if they stop access to 30, you're either going to have to go from the front of the house down to 600 to Airport Road or down to the new 580th interchange. I mean, well, there's no way on the 30 if they close it all down right there.
Well, that's what we don't know. And, I mean, we're kind of like Randy. I've got ground on both sides of the road, and we've got guaranteed accesses that they haven't addressed. But still, if they're not going to let us onto there, my guaranteed access don't do me any good. But again, the DOT hasn't come and said, this is what our plans are, this is what we're thinking about, or what's your input, what do you want to do?
What does the drawing show? So we were at that meeting the other night. What does it show happen with you guys? They had to have addressed it.
They had a couple purple lines there, and the print was so small I couldn't read. Maybe I didn't even have my eyes checked again, but I couldn't read what it said. So we still don't know. We don't know if that's...
Well, you either have to go, like Rick said, clear east to Airport Road, or they'd have to put a bridge over the creek to get you guys to go west.
Correct. And we don't know that whole mile in there. They've got some color, some purple lines, but we don't know what that means. I don't know what a bridge would cost if it's as poorly designed as their overpasses where we can't get our equipment across there. I don't know if they're going to put a 10-foot car bridge across and expect us to get our equipment across, you know. I wouldn't put that past them if they think that's good enough.
Question for Ron.
Not necessarily a question, but as I've listened to all the speakers that have talked and, you know, over my 15 years of serving on the board and so forth, you know, we've encountered various things that were happening, and it just reminds me a little bit of the rest stop that was being proposed a few years ago. Between Story County and Polk County, and there was quite a bit of discussion and public input, and some people were very concerned about that, and through some of those discussions it was decided to move from the original location down to where it's currently at today. It's my hope that by going through this public process and you all having the opportunity to share what this will do to you from a personal as well as an economic standpoint in continuing your business, I think the powers to be will take a look at that. I believe the process is one of the reasons that they hold the public input sessions, is to take a look at that. However, we know for a fact that not everyone is ever notified about this process, so it becomes more of a word of mouth, and people have to reach out and garner other folks to come in and then share, you know, what is basically happening. So I believe that there is a lot of information here that talks about that maybe they need to take a look at another plan or an alternate plan. Now, whether they will actually do that or not, based on, you know, our letter 2 years ago, and then I also want to just say for the public, you know, a couple of years ago when we first entertained this, Rick took the charge to represent the board for the ongoing discussions, working with our engineer and also with the DOT. So he's very much more involved from the board standpoint of a lot of the planning and the discussions, and that's why you've heard him kind of mention some of those type of things. And to me, that's very valuable for us to have that history and background. I'm hopeful that whatever decision that the DOT is going to make based on all the input, that they're going to at least take time to consider whether there are alternate things that could be done rather than following the plan that is on the table. That's just a comment that I'd like to make. And I want to thank you as well as everybody else that's spoken to this issue.
Well, I think most people know that, I mean, if they do want the area to grow, you need that. The traffic's getting terrible. When we started yesterday morning when it was harvesting, we were across the road on Sand Hill Trail. Before we got done, we ended up tonight at S-14, and we crossed every one of those crossings all day long. And this morning, we didn't even fire up just because the weather's so bad, you know, it's going to cause an accident. So you just didn't even do it. But out of all those crossings that we go across every day, I had that Nancy Miller asked me several years ago when she was complaining about the dust, why are you using this road? Well, I can tell you, if you're in farm equipment or you're in a semi, your two best lines of sight and your approaches to the road to cross are 590th and 600th.
Mm-hmm. And 590th is not improved south of 30. It's a dirt road right there in a mud pit, right? A lot of the time.
Right. So, you know, just your level grade access, you aren't going up down a hill, you're not looking over a hill, you're not on a curve like Airport Road, you curve and the viaduct, all that's misleading when you got to judge two lanes of traffic with something that just can't shove your foot feet to the floor like a car.
Right.
It takes a while. So they're closing the best two roads you got to move slow moving stuff or, you know, anything that's not a car, I guess you'd say. And I really just, you know, this whole deal, it still just goes back. They're shoving it down everybody's throat because they just want this so bad in the city of Nevada. And it needs a lot more thought. I think everybody agrees we need some ramps there and something needs to be done. But you can't close these roads.
Ron, thanks.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to address Highway 30? Yes, sir.
I'm Scott Stabby with Key Cooperative in Nevada.
Scott, thanks for coming over.
Just here to support our member patrons and trying to keep from them getting limited access to their farms and everything else. So I just back everything everybody else has said pretty much.
Okay. Question for Scott?
No, thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
The gentleman standing there.
Yes, step up. Start with an introduction.
Shane Hines. 116K Avenue here in Nevada. I own a small business on Main Street, which we're not talking about today. We did that the other day.
And another meeting on the 17th.
Correct.
Okay.
I also live or also farm out in Randy's neighborhood. Right now I choose to go to Key Co-op, and this has not been addressed, but I'm not going to go from 3 miles to Key to 8 or 9 miles to Key. I'm going to go to Cambridge, which they're in is a whole other set of problems because, you know, you guys know the curved road of death going into Cambridge. Plus, I don't feel that Cambridge is... I don't think all the people that we cut off south that choose to go to Cambridge now, I don't think Cambridge is set up for that volume. And I think they made a mention of wouldn't affect Vetter for walk-in traffic. I had to go out to Vetter and buy an alternator the other day, which I otherwise would have gone to Ames to buy at O'Reilly's or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I am walk-in traffic. Highway 20's new. There's at-grade crossings all down Highway 20. Now it's a new four-lane road. So, I agree with everything else everybody has said. So,
thank you very much.
I just wanted to give one guy's opinion.
That's what we're here for. Anybody else who wants to give one guy's opinion or one lady's opinion? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Greta Anderson. I live in rural Story County, and loyal shopper over at Brecky's. Take that exit quite a bit. Just wanted to say I'm also a KHOI reporter, KHOI Community Radio. I'm here for the second half of the input mostly, but I think this is our motto at KHOI is to build community through communication, and I think this democratic process that has been going on right now is really inspiring to hear from all these people, their thoughts about this thing that they feel that is being shoved down their throat, and I think there will be a lot of parallels to the next conversation that we have. Leanne Harder, who is the Story County outreach person, appears on KHOI every Monday, every second Monday. So we actually had this conversation about Highway 30 on our radio station, 89.1 FM. If you want to catch Story County News, you can just go there at 7 a.m. on the second Monday of the month. I also just want to say that I've been doing some kind of investigation into Iowa's Department of Transportation as a reporter, and there are people there who are very unhappy with the administration of Iowa DOT, people who work there, who have worked there for a long, long time. They are finding that their experience and their skills are being kind of put aside because increasingly the kind of the tree of administration has been infiltrated by appointees as opposed to professionals who are, you know, want to do their job. In other words, these are people who are at will of the governor's appointment, and so they're finding that they are more and more subjected to decisions that might have to do with those people's connections as opposed to what might be the most rational decision. So I hope to deliver more on that story later, but I'm really thankful for everyone who's spoken.
Yep, Freda, thank you very much. Anybody else? All right, board. Now is an opportunity for the board to consider our position if we take a formal position on the proposed plan. And I would just reiterate, the conversation is 600, 590th, 580th, and Sand Hill Trail. Everything else in this initial project is Airport Road. While it has impacts on the county, that is City of Nevada. So our conversation is really limited to 600, 590th, 580th, and Sand Hill Trail. And I'll open up to the board for comments, questions, thoughts.
Well, just to be put, I'll just say that I travel either Lincoln Way home or the 30 home, you know, and what has been shared with me personally, I recognize, is a major problem and a major concern. And it's also a major concern because I see it as a cost shift to the county in order for us to make sure that the farm-to-market roads and the infrastructure is there to allow the farmers to get products to and from their fields and to market. We do not have the financial resources in place to be able to do some of the things that would have to be done. And to assume that we can count on the state to make certain that those dollars are made available to assist us is just kind of somewhere. I won't even use the term that I'm thinking about, actually. But I do think that 2 years ago when we sent the letter at that time, we're at a point now that we need to consider, and I hate to give our county engineer any additional responsibilities, but it would be nice to have a kind of a idea of the total cost that we might have to expend to upgrade some of the roads and the bridges if this thing came in. And in whatever decision we make, that we include that as part of our discussion and our position on why we should consider maybe other alternatives. I think slowing the speed limit 55 between this area, if that becomes necessary, I mean, I could live with that. The state always wants revenue so they can put a little bit more traffic policemen out there, highway patrol, and they can get money for those that don't want to drive the speed limit. I like the idea of the turning lanes, you know, here. So I do think there are some other options that have been expressed here, and I certainly would support us
making sure that we voice those concerns because of the overall economic impact. And another story really relates to the 6th Street, which we'll talk about at another time. But as a central gathering place, that too is a concern of mine personally, as all the other businesses on Main Street. But that's the city of Nevada's decision there. So,
well, Darren, our county engineer, has been really on top of this. The problem for Darren is it's not as simple as just making a plan for what the county would have to do, because it's completely dependent upon what DOT does. I mean, we had conversations about what we were going to do with 600, pave it, not pave it, what we're going to do to improve that. For as long as, Paul, you and I have been on the board, and Wayne, I know even before we joined the board in 2010, you were having those conversations. The reality is the growth in traffic out there, agricultural traffic, based on Lincoln Way Energy joining Key Co-op, and now you add the Pontinesco, which they just had a great grand opening to it. Traffic moving back and forth, north and south, from Highway 30 is just going to grow. And the problem for Darren is, yeah, we can. If DOT does X, then we'll have to do Y. And I don't think there's an option that we've seen yet that's going to cost the county. Well, it's in the millions.
Yeah.
What the county is going to have to do, regardless of what's decided out there. But Darren's done a phenomenal job trying to stay one step ahead of this thing. It's just until I'm really excited about the process finally being resolved, because then we're going to have to react to whatever DOT decides, good, bad, or indifferent. Paul, thoughts?
I think Darren and I and the county attorney met with Scott Dockstetter in your office 3 years ago, 4 years ago, with a map of this, mm-hmm. this plan. And although the western half of this discussion isn't on their five-year plan, the projects are tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And any interchange that they would envision for Airport Road, the concern is that that's going to put the end of that ramp too close to 600th Avenue. So, you know, there's that problem.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem is what happens with all the traffic that's going to go to the two ethanol plants. That puts a lot of that traffic that comes from the east that's going to put that traffic on Airport Road if there's no access to 600.
Right.
So now you've got the problem. What do you do at Airport Road and Lincoln Highway? So that's a bad intersection to begin with. And then all the way out to either of the ethanol plants. And all the way from the city limits. Well, the city limits does go through the ethanol plant. It goes to 588.
Right.
And the city chose to annex that entire roadway, which is a little uncommon, but that entire length of roadway is within the city's jurisdiction because they annex that. It's their road. You're gonna dump a lot of semi-traffic on the Lincoln Way. You're going to dump a lot of farm equipment traffic on Lincoln Way. Darren sent us a great picture here a month ago of him traveling south on Airport Road in his vehicle when he met a large John Deere combine with a set of duals on it.
Right.
There's no way to
get past. Right.
You can't get past. That road was not, and whoever designed it, I'm not pointing fingers at whoever designed it, it wasn't designed for that type of traffic. It just wasn't. If you take a good hard look at a map of Iowa, we've got a pretty unique farm-to-market market road system in Iowa. We've basically got a road every mile. And I heard several times at the meeting at the church the other night that the DOT is concerned about safety. I heard the term high-speed thoroughfare is what they want to look at this Highway 30 corridor as. Well, maybe this is a bad spot to consider using that as a high-speed thoroughfare with restricted access. You're cutting off several farm-to-market roads that are in that area. You're going to put a tremendous burden on the county taxpayers to improve roads in that area to accommodate agricultural traffic. I don't see it a good solution that's easy to get to. And maybe for the DOT, just closing those roads is a good solution for them, because that puts the burden back on the county. Our conversation included some talk about frontage roads and rearage roads, and
left me with the impression that was all going to be up to the county. If there were going to be frontage roads and rearage roads to any businesses in that corridor, that was the county's responsibility to put those in. And I just don't think that's, I don't think that's,
that makes good sense.
So I don't know what we're going to do here today. I know it's a consideration item.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to send another letter to the DOT, and I think if the board agrees that we need to state our opposition to the plan to close the grade crossings between, and whether you want to say 610th Avenue to 580th, or if you think we need to extend it to Sand Hill Trail. Now that's another conversation. Sand Hill Trail, that's you go through there on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning with the traffic to those two churches out there. It's a little dicey. I mean, I think the DOT has extended that turn lane to go to those churches on three different occasions. They've had to make that turn lane longer.
Well, I'm so appreciative of the conversation today, and Randy, I need to single you out. I'm so appreciative of the numbers you've put together here and the way you've broken them out, because in the environmental impact study, it was difficult to pull out exactly what was happening, where, when, and why. And so digging into those numbers, I think, was really, really helpful. The reality for me, and I'm like Wayne, I travel either Lincoln Highway or Highway 30 multiple times a day between Nevada and Ames. The reality is there are issues that need to be addressed. S-14 is clearly a bad intersection. I have really tried hard to stay out of that conversation because I firmly believe that when one of our municipalities, City of Nevada, in this case, is involved in that, that all rests solely within the city, and the city council needs to do a great job representing their citizens. It looks to me like they're trying to do that now with this additional meeting on the 17th, and so I'm excited to see where that one goes. Paul, I want to acknowledge what you said. It makes sense to me that if the plan for Nevada were to go through and you build an interchange at Airport Road 610th, that the entrance and exit ramps to that are close enough to 600 that there could be some issues if you build the Nevada part. And so I recognize that. I fully recognize that there's issues on 580th and Sand Hill Trail. And while I'm not entirely convinced that where DOT is talking about putting that new 580th interchange in, I recognize that there's issues there. Where I cannot get, and I've had this conversation with multiple people at DOT, where I absolutely cannot get is how you could come in and close 590 under any circumstances. And I'm not saying that the other ones are great for me, but 590, I don't see any way that you can. I had somebody say to me the other day, well, Vetter, and I guess by extension the training center, didn't do a sufficient amount of homework before they spent $8 million building the facility. And my stance to that is, that's irrelevant. The reality is there's been $8 million invested right there. It's based on access from Highway 30. And the realities throughout the state has been that our roadways are built largely to accommodate existing business. And so I absolutely cannot get to a place where I could even remotely support closing access to Highway 30 from 590. Everywhere else, I've got questions. The numbers, I think, point to there's questions everywhere else, but I am adamant about 590th, and I can't support any plan that has the closing of 590th as part of it. That's where I come down. And that's me personally. I don't know if the board wants to take a stand like that or try to make an additional stand beyond that.
Well, I think all along you have been our representative in contacts not only with our engineer but with the DOT and looking at this project and understanding what's in their five-year plan and the impact. And I would be very comfortable if you would work with Darren and our civil attorney in drafting our concern, taking some input from what we've heard today and what you know from your visits, and then in that letter, voicing his concern, and probably before, it's actually would be sent out, you can run that again, share it with us if you feel like you need our stamp of approval. But based upon what we did a couple of years ago, I think that we certainly are in a position, and I would be very comfortable
and asking that you would work to come up with a strong statement of concern here. 5-9 is where those two businesses are. My concern also is, what about the Carmody area? And also, we heard from Brecky. I mean, I use that road a lot, and a lot of people from Ames come into that area and go in and use a Highway 30. I mean, so there are a lot of businesses going to be impacted by that. And so the idea would be to at least acknowledge and identify the many of the businesses that would be impacted and ask to see if there are other alternate turns, such as is referenced here today, in their design as we move forward. So basically, I would just ask, would you be willing to work with Darren and our civil attorney to kind of come up with an appropriate letter voicing our concern?
Well, we've sent a letter already.
Yeah,
I'm voicing our concern. Do we want to send the letter in opposition to? Is I guess what's
I think it's time that if this board is going to take a position, now's the time for us to take a position.
So we are in opposition of this. At least I'm in opposition of the closing of those accesses.
Okay, and just clarify for me, Wayne. So I am absolutely opposed to the closing of 590th. I've got major concerns about the closings in other places. I recognize that there's issues that need to be dealt with in other places. You add in 580th, and I hurt for Brecky's and Carmoli's and everything else. I just don't know if the plan that's being presented there is the best alternative to take care of issues there, if the issues have been handled. From the turn lanes, I'd like to learn more about that. But I don't just automatically draw a line and say closing 580th is the worst idea ever. I do draw a line and say closing 590th is a terrible idea, and there's no way to rectify it.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to go further than that.
Well, I guess I have not really thought of it in terms of the overall impact to Brecky's until I heard from the gentleman today.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the size of the business is not as important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that this business has been viable and continues to be viable, and it's accessed by a large clientele of folks that come in. My wife goes there quite a bit, and I know I use it a lot of times coming to work and accessing 30. So I think there are some areas that it needs to be looked at. I would just like for them to revisit the whole closure of all those accesses and see if they're going to put an overpass in and what this will do to 600. I think we've already determined that that's potentially a big issue, but certainly the 590th and 580th, I could certainly take a position in support of not closing both of those.
Hey, where do you come down?
It's a tough call to make. I'm opposed to them closing 590th. And we just took some action here not too long ago for some additional lots just north of Brecky's. We made those available for purchase.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a safety concern of 580th. We had a school bus accident, last week. But anybody that travels between here and Ames and uses those deceleration lanes to get off on Airport Road or 580th, it's made a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're sitting on 580th across to go south, your line of vision is so much better with those deceleration lanes because now you know if a car is actually turning or if he's just driving down the road with a turn signal on.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to see him do anything that would in essence, dead end 580th for the businesses that are down there now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can support a letter in opposition to the closing of the grade crossing at 590th and 580th.
Okay.
600th Avenue, I know Nancy Miller sitting in the back there. We've had a lot of conversations about that. And that's going to totally depend on where and if they put an interchange at Airport Road. You can't have an off-ramp to get off or an on-ramp, rather, to get onto Highway 30, a quarter or a half a mile from a grade crossing. I just don't think it's going to be a good idea.
You got to come up to the mic, Elroy.
Do it. DOT's listening to all this.
Okay. So, this is Ron Jensen, 217-895-90th Nevada. I'm not sure. We've had so many sets of plans kind of from the DOT. I'm not sure that I've seen maybe the last one. I thought he sent me another one sometime in June or July, somewhere in there. As I've seen it, when they tell you, it's not only fabrications, I could be wrong, but when they tell you the ramps from Nevada to 600 are too close, then they got to move the whole ramp over to Andy because those ramps are closer to the interstate ramps than the one at...
You're talking about the Sandhill Trail.
Right.
Yeah.
And the DOT, they don't want to be inconvenienced to drive around like everybody else. They're keeping their driveway on the 30. So they're going to be sitting in between those ramps with their own access onto the road. So if they're talking about safety, they need to think up some more new lies. I mean, maybe you guys don't mind having people tell you stories. I get tired of it.
Thanks, Ron. Do one of you guys want to put where you stand so that I heard little differences between where the two of you stood? Not huge differences. Do one of you want to put it in the form of a motion so that we can consider it as a board?
I would move that we direct Chair of Board along with the county engineer and our legal counsel to draft a letter to the DOT in opposition to closing the grade crossings at 580th and Highway 30 and 590th and Highway 30.
I will second that.
Okay. Motion and a second. Letter of opposition against closing the at-grade crossings at 590th and 580th. Discussion.
And I don't want anybody to think we're going to leave 600th Avenue out there because
no.
I think there's just too many questions that are unanswered at this point as to what the DOT is going to do.
Well, the reality is, if the DOT ends up doing that, let's say this meeting on the 17th goes the direction that I think it's probably going to go, and Nevada starts to rethink their position on the Nevada crossings, and DOT says, okay, we're done, we're not doing anything. The reality is the county is going to spend dollars, and we're going to spend dollars on 600,
right.
But that's going to become the major north-to-south thoroughfare. Getting it's our farm-to-market route right now. So that's the reality.
Yeah.
Ron?
We'll allow you.
We need to just put a microphone back there at your chair, man.
The thing is, if I understood just right what I'm here today, the Nevada deal is on the 5-year and going. So the one that's most impacted by this whole deal of Nevada's moving ahead is 600. So if you're going to stop it, it's got to be stopped today. You won't have another chance to do it on down the road. So to me, I don't know why you can't put it all on there. And then it forces their hand. They got to, let it get off the pot.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
I think that's the most important road to keep open today.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'll make an amendment to my motion to include 600th Avenue. And Highway 30.
And based on, if I heard you correctly, based on the fact that right now that is becoming the main travel route to the co-op and may ultimately be the access to the ethanol plant as well as the DuPont.
If the DOT doesn't do anything at all, everything the way it is, 600th Avenue will become, because semis don't want to go up Airport Road the way it is
right,
now.
Right,
and
well,
make that turn.
Well, I agree, it has to stay open.
But like Ron said, your line of sight is a lot better at 600th than Lincoln Way, so that's the road they're going to take to get to the two ethanol plants.
Oh, so the idea of nothing happens.
If nothing happens, then like Rick said, it's going to come back on us to make the improvements necessary on 600th Avenue if it stays the way it is.
If it stays the way it is, we're making some major improvements to 600. I mean, I just think that's coming. That's why we made it the farm-to-market road 2 years ago. We've kept saying the reason we weren't spending real dollars to improve 600 is because it was going to be closed according to the DOT plan. The reality is, no matter what happens, including nothing, the county is going to spend some major dollars. We're either
If they leave 600 open, we're going to be spending major dollars to improve 600 between Highway 30 and Lincoln Way. If they close 600, we're going to spend major, but leave 590 open, we're going to spend major dollars to improve 590 south of Highway 30, put a new bridge in north of Highway 30 on 590, and that's going to become your major agricultural north-south. If they close both of those, we're going to spend major dollars to improve a bunch of dead-end roads to provide access. We're spending money no matter which way this thing goes. I just want to do what makes sense.
I may be wrong, but just procedurally, since Paul did amend his motion to 600, I'm going to go ahead and second that motion so that the discussion part can continue. And my concern, again, was fully understanding the value of the reason behind 600, primarily remaining open. And even if, you know, we determine at some point we're going to have to spend some additional dollars there, as long as it's not closed, I think there are some advantages for us as a county and for the farm to market aspect of that to consider to do what needs to be done. But again, that's something that we're going to have to put into our plan because dollars have not been allocated towards that.
Right.
So we'd have to know that that's, again, would become a priority.
So we have a motion and a second to include 600 in that motion. So now 600, 590, 580, I'm going to tell you guys that there I start to have an issue because now we're doing what I feel like we're overstepping where we're supposed to be in terms of that 600 is part of the project for Nevada.
Yeah.
And Nevada needs to handle Nevada. And the reality is we've got to react to what happens. I'm in full agreement that we can't close all the access 600, 590, 580, but we could respond, and we're going to respond in whatever way necessary to make the best of a tough situation if they close one of those. I've been really concerned about the county stepping on one of our municipalities. We don't do it with any of our municipalities. We don't step on any of our small towns. Nevada clearly has a kettle full right now that they're dealing with. And I'm concerned that us weighing in now on that is overstepping our bounds. I was fully on board at 590th and 580th. I'm concerned about 600th. And I recognize that we've got money to spend no matter what. That's one too far. And that's where I come down.
But
we're in discussion right now.
How do we solve that, knowing full well that depending upon what the city of Nevada does, because it's within their jurisdiction and so forth, do we plan to make a statement at this next meeting voicing our concern? The idea here is we're just basically expressing an objection to the closing of those. Doesn't mean that's going to happen, even five for 590th or 580th. But we're saying that also 600th has some value, you know, by including that in the statement from the county's perspective, simply because, again, we're going to have to spend multiple taxpayer dollars to upgrade that to handle the farm to market traffic. So that's why I could be in support of keeping 600 in our initial letter of objection to closing it.
Boss?
I don't know how to word it any differently.
Good.
So I think, I'm going to let my motion
stand. Let's stay where it stands. Wayne seconded it, so that's what we're considering. There were a couple people who wanted to speak while we were discussing. Whoever wants to come up, I guess Catherine wanted to come up.
And here we go.
Yep. We're going to take a recess as soon as we get to the end of this part.
Thank you. I'd just like to point out that, well, I think it's very nice and polite of you to be concerned about stepping on the toes of the municipality. They are stepping on the toes of the county because 600th is in the county, not the municipality. So the plans that they're making.
Yeah, I didn't say it worked both ways. I mean, every municipality steps on the county.
You're concerned about not wanting to step on the toes of the city of Nevada. I live, my way to get out onto the highway is 600.
Mm-hmm.
You are my representative because I live in the county.
No question.
So I don't appreciate that you're concerned about bothering those people in Nevada, but they're the ones making a change that's going to affect us in the county.
And it happens every day. And annexation happens every day. And Catherine, it's not, and people in the room who will tell you this, it's not that I'm overly polite. It's not that I'm concerned about, yeah, thanks for the giggling. It's not that that I'm worried about stepping on toes. I take very seriously what I believe the Board of Supervisors' role is. And the Board of Supervisors' role, as it relates to our cities, our municipalities, from top to bottom, is different than our municipality's role with the county. It just is. That's where I come down on this issue. And I appreciate that you disagree with me. I voice what I believe, and I try really, really hard to stay within the confines that I believe
is the Board of Supervisors. Aren't you my proper person to talk to because
absolutely.
You represent people in the county?
No question about it.
And I appreciate what Mr. Clinton said in that the decision you're making right now is all about a sternly worded letter.
Right, exactly.
That's all it's about. I don't see why that should be hard for you to be participating in a sternly worded letter about how these roads that cross 30 are affected by the